I'd like to welcome everybody again. Hope you've all had a great week. And, you know, God's moving in our midst, whether we're willing to receive and accept that or not. He wants to do great things. If you would, go ahead and be turning to 2 Kings chapter 4. I feel like I got a word for us this morning that the Lord wants me to share. I'd like to welcome our visitors this morning. We got quite a few people that haven't been before, and then some that's been around a little bit. We're glad to have you back. Thank you, darling. Everybody made it to 2 Kings yet? Amen, oh me. All right. Let's start with verse 1. It says, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said to her, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour it into all those vessels and set it aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased, and then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again today, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to gather in this house. Lord, I pray that you touch each and every one of these that are here today, Lord. I pray that you would open our ears, that we would hear, and our hearts, that we would receive and accept, Lord, what you want to say this morning, Lord. And we pray that every gift and every portion of your spirit would be operating fully and openly in this service this morning, Lord. And we give you glory and honor and praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. My question today for us and for each and every individual as well as the congregation and the whole, what do you have? How many of you ever kind of asked that question? Well, what do I have? You know, and you know, I guess I want to apologize right off the bat for maybe my tone if it offends somebody, because it's not it's the Lord's message. It's not mine. I don't apologize for what the word. If it convicts you, then hallelujah. But I don't want to offend you, but I'm going to tell you the truth this morning. Here in this particular scripture, this widow woman is thought to be the wife of Obadiah. And just to give you a little bit of backstory right quick, I don't try not to stay here too long, but Obadiah is one of the men that hid 100 prophets. And that's what he told Elijah when Elijah come back and said, I'm the only one that's left. Oh, poor pitiful me. We've said that one too, right? I'm the only one that's left. There ain't nobody else doing what I do. Baloney. Get over it. Pull your boots up and get after it. Just quit your whining. If that offends you, I'm sorry. But it's what we got to do. It's what the church is called to do. But this is thought to be his wife. He had hid 100 prophets. So, you know, he was a faithful person. He done what he was called to do. He worked hard. And so she's now found herself where she's in debt to the creditors. And Elisha, she comes to Elisha and asks him to help her. What do I need to do? And of course he's like, what do you want me to do? How many of you said that? Well, what do you want me to do? But then he said, what do you have in the house? All I got's one little jar of oil. That's our mentality most of the time, right? More than half, less than half empty than it is full, right? We're not optimistic. We're pessimist. That's wrong. We shouldn't be that way. You know, she said, I got a jar of oil. He said, okay, go gather all these vessels. That took commitment, right? That took faith. We got to have faith. And in that faith, she done what the prophet told her to do. And who added the increase? I mean, that ought to be enough right there. We ought to be able to say amen and have an altar call. But we're not. Hold on. But this woman, she went and done what she done. And it was an inconceivable miracle that God just poured out for her, right? You know, there's a lot of reasons, I feel like, for that, being faithful, for one, because she was, her and her husband were faithful to God, and they hid, and they took care of, and they fed those 100 prophets, while Ahab and his wife Jezebel would have loved to have killed them all, right? And they would have even killed him and her if they would have known what they were doing. God's faithful. He's going to take care of us. He's going to pour out blessings upon us. Does that mean you're going to walk out of here with $1 million today? Nope. Not happening. At least it ain't coming out of my pocket, because I ain't got it to give to you to start with. But I want to really share on what do you have today. And, you know, I've lived this one. I've seen it. And I'll get back to that in just a minute. But what you're looking at was, God said, what do you have? When we started, when we began to start the process of this, we were asked, how much do you think you're going to have to start what God's called you to do? Well, I, being kind of a numbers guy and in construction, I said, the way I see it, I got to have a minimum of $25,000. Guess what we started this church with? Zero. Nothing. Because God said, do it. I'll make a way. We started it with nothing. And I can sit here half a day and tell you the things that God blessed us with and how things moved and how God worked all this out. Trust me, He'll give it to you. Be faithful. Do what He tells you to do. Don't sit there and say, well, I don't have nothing. That's a lie. You're born. Well, hang on, I got to go. But there's another part here in this scripture that we got to understand before I go on to the next point here where I'm at. But He said to her in verse 6, there is not another vessel, so the oil ceased. And then she came and she told the man of God. And he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. He said, you obeyed me, you done what I told, or you obeyed God and you done what God told you to do. Essentially, that's what happened. And now you no longer have to live in slavery. How many of us want to see our family and our friends live in slavery? Well, we don't want to have slavery here anymore. Yeah, we do. Slavery of sin. We got people that's addicted to drugs and they don't even want to be. We got people that are so steeped in so much sin, pornography and everything else. And you know, how many drug addicts do you talk to that said, I wanted to grow up and be a drug addict when I was born. When I grew up. No. How many of them wanted to die the first time they tried it? None of them. We're a society that it's so focused upon sin instead of upon the Father, and we got to change that. You know, so there's a lot of things that we have. I want to share a few of those with you. And to start with, one of those is we have life. You got that? You got something. You got breath? You got something. You got a soul to start with. And that soul might be crying out and say, Lord, I need you. Or it might be saying, Lord, I need more of you. But it's up to you to recognize that you need more. And it's up to you to answer the call that says, Lord, yes, I want you in my life. I want your blessings. I want your You're everything, Lord. I want you to never leave me. I want you to never forsake you. And he's not going to do that anyway unless you don't answer that call. If you don't accept him as your Lord and Savior, he has no connection to you. Has to have no connection to you. Or doesn't have to have. Does that make sense? But when you call upon him, when you ask him to be your Lord and Savior, he's always there. He's always providing for us. And you know, and part of that tone I'm talking about today is we got to quit saying, I don't have nothing. That dog don't hunt. I'm going to show you why. Let's go to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, let's start with verse 7. And this is Jesus' disciples, right? The heading on my Bible on this particular section of Scripture says he's sending out the 12. Verse 7 says, he called the 12 to himself, and he began to send them out two by two. He gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take what? Really? But we're expecting $1 million to go do what God's called us to do. What did he send his disciples out with? Nothing. Man, that stinks, don't it? So now we got to depend on what? Right? That's what this all comes down to, folks. When he says, what do you have? I got you. What else do I need? As long as I got you, I can do whatever you've called me to, whatever you've asked me to do, whatever you've already prepared me to do, I can do it. But he told them, he sent them out two by two, gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Don't wear a coat. Just go and do what you're called to do. And they left, and they done what they were told. And as you go down to verse 12, it says, so they went out, and they preached that people should. Huh? Well, why do we got to do that for? What are we called to do? We're called to call people to repentance. And that, I mean, if you want to go back to Matthew chapter 28 and look at the Great Commission, he told us to go out into all the world, right? And preach the gospel. Share his gospel. And this is what he's doing. He sent them out with a message. He sent them out with a plan. Go and share the gospel. Heal the sick. Have power. How many people in the church today actually have power? The power of God operating and working in them. We got masks on saying that we're this, but are we really what we say we are? But he says, they preached that the people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. All right. Where I really want to go to, and that's just kind of setting the groundwork for it, but we'll go down to verse 30. And to give you a little bit more background, what happened between there and verse 30 was they come back to Jesus. And in this meantime, while they were out, John the Baptist had been beheaded because he told the king the truth. And his brother's wife didn't like it. So she had, through the process, her daughter had the head of John the Baptist put on a platter. When you do with what you have, it may cost you, but it's worth it. It cost him his head for the truth. But this is just a stopping point, just a little minute spot in history in our life. You know, you got this much, and then you got the rest of that out through there is eternity. What you do here makes a difference where you go after that last breath. You're going to end up in heaven and peace and all the great things of God, or you're going to end up in hell absent from God, in fire and brimstone. And it says there's gnashing of teeth. It's darkness. And one of the key worst things about it all is the absence of God. You know, at least here now, you may not know it at the moment, but the presence of God is around you. But when you hit hell, there's not going to be any presence of God. But they come to Jesus, and let's start at verse 30. It says, then the apostles gathered to Jesus, and they told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. You know, really, what it amounted to, Jesus is saying, all right, boys, let's go find us a place that we can debrief and we can discuss and go through what you've learned and what you've seen and understand, and let me glean a little bit more on your understanding, you know, show you a little bit more, teach you what you know, what you've learned here. And it says, for there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. So they got in a boat, and they're going on the other side, trying to get away from this crowd that's been following Jesus. Why are they following him for? Because he's been healing sick people. He's been then casting out demons, and he's been sharing the word with them. And it says, but the multitude saw them and departed. I'm going to tell you what, when people see what's in you, when they see God in you, they're going to be departing places and looking for what you've got. When the fire of God burns in this house in the way that I'd like to see it, which I know has got to start here to begin with, but we got to see that fire burn, there's going to be people come. There'll be people show up that you never believed would even walk in the door of a church, because they'll see the fire of God moving in people's hearts and lives and changing people, restoring the broken and the hurting. There'll be people walk in this place that you've never imagined would come and seek God. And they'll be changed. They'll be restored. They'll be healed and made whole and complete, because that's what God's called us to do, and that's what he does when we give it all to him. It says, but the multitudes, they saw them and departing, and many knew him, and they ran on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them. He had compassion. Why did he have compassion? Well, let's continue on here, this next part of this verse. It says, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. How many of you have seen some sheep that didn't have a shepherd? If you ain't, I could take you some places and show you some. But that's wild. What are not... If they're not tame, they're what? They're wild. If they're wild, do they understand how to follow directions? Do they know how to be moved about and taken from places of nothing to eat to places of good things, to clear water? Do they understand how to do that? No. And that's the world we live in today. Too many people don't understand that in God, there's paths of righteousness, green pastures, it tells us. I mean, we got to understand. And it falls on the church. It falls on us as Christians, as people, to say, Lord, this is what I got. I got you. Do with me what you want me to do. Not sit back and whine and say, well, Lord, you hadn't given me this yet. You hadn't given me that. When he's saying, get up. How many of you got kids and you tell them to go do something and they just keep sitting there? Get up. You want to just walk in there and say, I said get up. Get. I think that's what a lot of us need. We got to understand that we got to get up. We got to get involved. And quit saying that somebody else will do it or I'm not equipped. God equipped us all with something. equipped us all with. So you got something. You got life. You got a soul. Use it. Speak the word. Proclaim it. And there's any word that you walk, you can use that. Right? Well, I don't want to be preaching to people. Come on. I feel like I can preach a whole lot louder by the way I live and the things I do and the actions I take than I can be walking around beating people over the head with this Bible. I know I listen to it a whole lot better that way than I did with somebody trying to shove it down my throat and beat on me with it. We got to live it, folks. We got to know what we believe and believe it and walk in that way and do what God's called us to do. So let's carry this a little bit further. It says, when the day, well, back up just a hair there. They were sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. But he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. Now, mind you, he just got off the boat with them. So you reckon, George, he knew what they had in the boat? You reckon he knew that they had enough feed to feed 5,000 men plus women and children? No. I'm sure that boat was just enough for all of them, much less enough to feed that many people. Let's continue on here. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? And if I understand correctly, a denarii was a year's wages. So they've taken 200 years worth of wages to feed 5,000, or just give them a little bite of something to eat. But God said, Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. It says, and when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. How are you going to feed 5,000 people on 5 loaves and 2 fish? You and I ain't going to do it. Not in ourselves. Not as much as we'd like to. But God. Another translation says he asked them that question because he knew what he was going to do anyway. Right? Or not another translation, another book. He knew what he was going to do. He told him, he said, all right, divide all these people up. Set them out. And, well, let's read. It says, then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when they had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed, and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples and set before them and the 2 fish. He divided among them all, so they, how many of them eat? All of them eat. They all ate and were, come on. 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and we fed over probably approximately 15 to 20,000 people. Why? Because the disciples, or Jesus, used what he had. The Father. We got to use what we got. We got to understand that what we have is him, if nothing else. And that's all we need to start with. That's all that answers the prayer. That answers the question. Nothing else will do. It just has to be him. So let's go. Well, let's finish the rest of this. So they ate and were filled. They took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten in the loaves were about 5,000 men. How do you do that? But God. God does those kind of things. I mean, look through the history in Scripture. How many miracles did he do with $1 million? None. What did he do? He took people and he used them to accomplish his will and his plan. Did he ask them to bring out of their pocket and give away what they had? No. You know, I think about a lot of their military things, the battles. He said, just go and stand. How crazy is that? Looks pretty crazy to us. But what happened to the army around them? It says they went and they stood and they watched him. And the other army was so confused, they began to fight each other. And they killed each other. And all they done was stood there. How hard is that? All we got to do is use what we have. And that's him. Y'all getting this today? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Let's go to Acts chapter 3. And I'm going to try to land this plane here in just a second. Verse 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple. This man was born lame, and they took him to the temple every day to beg money, to beg people to help him out because he couldn't work, he couldn't get around. And then verse 3 says, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on them with John, Peter said, look at me. Look at us. We're going to give you $1 million. What? That ain't what he said, was it? He said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. He was expecting money, but he got so much more. You know, we need to be expecting when we do speak to people. Well, I can't do that. Baloney, I'm up here. I'm not taking those excuses. You say, well, you've been... No, that excuse, that dog don't hunt. You just don't understand where we come from to get here. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. Where do you reckon his attention went at that moment? Well, let's go somewhere else. Right? That's our attitude. That's our way about doing things. I mean, that's just the way man is. But he said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazarene, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that he was who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. I think today there's too many people that fit in that category. I know a pastor that had an individual come to the altar one day and asked that the pastor pray for them, that they would get a healing. And he began to pray, and he said, wait, hold up. He said, I don't want to be completely healed because I don't want to lose my check. That's the honest truth. Shame on us. I think that's the way we are spiritually a lot of times. Lord, I don't want you to completely bless me because I might have a little accountability that I got to go do something. All right, I'm just going to wind this up. What do we have? We got a life. We got a soul that has breath. It has talents. It has physical and spiritual abilities. That's what we have. Are you going to use it? Are you going to speak? Are you going to live life in front of people? The second one is there's a call and a ministry for each and every one of us. If you don't know what it is, ask God. Seek for him. Look at it. Look at what you're doing. Right? I mean, you may already be walking in your call and you don't even realize it. You don't understand it's a call. Talk to the Father. Speak to Him. Talk to leadership. They'll be glad to help you find a place in a position. We need some teachers. We need a youth leader. Anybody standing up and volunteering? Talk. One of the other things is we have opportunities daily. You got family, you got friends, you go to work. What do you have? You got opportunities. Use them. Get up in the morning, pray, put your armor on like the Word tells us to, and say, Lord, open the doors. Give me opportunities to speak to who you want me to speak today. Give me the word to speak when I get there, Lord. Help me to be bold about it. And the key to all of it is, what do we have? We got God. We got the Father. The King of Kings, the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God, the Lord of Lords. Tells us He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and some old preacher said the taters under the hill along with it. It's all His. We're just passing through here. It depends on how we're stewards of all that. But with God comes power, it comes wisdom, it comes anointing, and it comes revelation. We got to walk in all of those things. We got to be used for His kingdom and His glory. And Sister Teresa gave me another point during class. She didn't even know it. We got experiences, right? How many of you been through things? You know what those things are? Those things are tools to share the goodness of God, to share how great He is, to share how He heals, how He restores. You know, and you sit around here and you look at people today and you're like, well, they got it all together. They ain't never been where I've been. You might want to stop and ask a question. There's people here today that have done things that would blow your mind, that have been through things that would completely blow you off the map, that you couldn't even touch, no matter how bad and just terribly sinful that you thought you were. We got experiences. Let's use them. Let's share what God took us from, what He healed us from, what He set us free from. I mean, there's people that here today that have been addicted to drugs and almost went to the point of God snuffing them out. Use it. And I know they do. There's people been healed. People been set free from addictions and other troubles and things. Use those experiences. Let the Lord speak to you. As they come back this morning, the question of the day is, what do you have? Are you going to continue to sit back and wait on God to do what He's called us to do with what He's already given you? Or are you going to go do what God says? Are you going to say, here I am. You can have me. Run to Him, folks. This is the last days are coming. Jesus is coming soon. And I ain't saying that to scare you. I'm telling you the truth. There's all the prophecies that are they're so minute what is left for the second coming of Jesus. It could happen in this next breath. You could be sitting here by yourself or with just a few. Or they might be a whole bunch here. I don't know. But I don't intend to be here with you. Jesus is coming soon, guys. We got to get to work and do what God's called us to do. You know, we got a community that needs to know Jesus. We got family that needs to know Jesus. We got friends that need to know Jesus. Amen. We work with people that need to know and see Jesus. Are we going to do what He's called us to do? Do you understand what you have? Maybe a couple do.